Welcome to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting From the Hip, and I want to welcome you to this edition. This will be our last show for a while because we'll be preempted for Dayton Flyer football. So we have a lot of stuff that we want to get in today. Sim Trainer is the sponsor of this program, and Jeff Pedro and I are from Sim Trainer, and we are the Dayton area's leading indoor range and firearms training center. We welcome you to come down there. If you'd like information about the range, you can find that on the website at sim-trainer.com. You can find our radio program at sim-trainer.com/radio, which is the radio information page, and that's also where we have archived most of our shows. So you'll be able to listen to those after the fact if you'd like to do that. I actually got caught up this morning, so you'll find all the shows that we've had out there. You also can find information about our podcast on that website as well, sim-trainer.com/radio, and click the podcast link. If you have an MP3 player that you'd like to have the shows downloaded to, you can do that from there. We also have a fan page on Facebook, so if you'd like to friend our page and tell us that you like the show, we also post information up there. Occasionally, I'll even be able to post information during the show, so if there's a question that comes up or a link that we talk about on the show, sometimes I'll even have that up there. Sim Trainer is a firearms training center, an indoor range, and we have a lot of classes that we'd like to let you be a part of. We just had our low-level light class this Thursday. That's part of our advanced handgun series. The advanced handgun series starts with mastering marksmanship fundamentals. Mastering marksmanship fundamentals is the handgun level one class. That class is designed to take you from already being quite proficient in handling your firearm and take you up to the next level, to bring you up to the skills that you would need to be able to defend yourself in a violent encounter should that be necessary. Handgun level two is our barricade and positional shooting class, where we teach you how to shoot around cover, use things for cover and concealment, how to shoot from various positions, such as seated, as in maybe in a restaurant or in a motor vehicle, and also kneeling, crouching behind some cover. And if you were to get knocked flat on your back, if you happen to be in a situation where you were trying to defend yourself and the assailant got the best of you and knocked you over, how would you draw from that position and stop that violent encounter? That is what we cover in the barricade and positional shooting class, handgun level two. Handgun level three is our moving and shooting class, teaching you to shoot at moving targets, teaching you how to shoot while you are moving. Sometimes being able to get out of the way is the best thing for you, and to get to something that will provide you with some cover. That's what we cover in our handgun level three class. And then last Thursday was our handgun level four class, which is our low-level light class. Since about 80% of the violent encounters occur in the hours between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m., those are the hours that the criminals like, because that's when we have less light. That's where they can hide in the dark a little bit. So if you've never placed a shot in the dark, you don't know what it's going to be like to find your sights in that environment. That's what our handgun level four low-level light class is about. I'll teach you how to shoot in low light and also how to use a flashlight as illumination, as a tool, how to get to the point where you can be accurate, where you can place in the shot that you need to make, to use your flashlight as distraction, how to adjust for the low-level light, make sure that you find your sights and get them aligned correctly. And that is what we do in that handgun level four class. The capstone course for the entire advanced handgun series is our handgun level five class, and that'll be in a couple of weeks. That class is designed to talk about spontaneous assault and how do you deal with a rapidly evolving situation, which all too unfortunately, most of the situations that you would need to defend yourself, they do happen very quickly. Within just a few seconds can go from a fairly normal situation to something that could be a deadly threat, and you need to defend yourself and deal with that. That's what that handgun level five spontaneous assault class is all about. So we have that entire series. We're just about ready to wrap it up now. So if you're interested in that, the next series will start in October, and we'll have more information about that. The Advanced Handgun Series, again, is a five-course series, and we do expect that you already are quite proficient with your handgun. If that's not the case and you'd like to get more training, we do have a basic handgun class. That's a great way to get started with a new handgun. And then, of course, a basic handgun is also a great way to get prepared for the concealed carry class. And we'll have a concealed carry class in September in just a few weeks. on September 10th and 11th. It will be our next regular concealed carry class. You can get more information about all our classes at sim-trainer.com, sim-trainer.com under civilian training, and now also private security training. We have some new classes that we talked about last week. For private security, the full 20-hour private security firearms course, as well as the private security refresher course, will be offered also in September. And you can get more information about those classes if you listen to last week's show, and the audio for that show is also available on our website. If you'd like to be part of this show, this being our last show, you don't want to delay too long. The telephone number here to the studio is 457-1290. 457-1290 is how you get onto the program, and we will be happy to take your call, get you up on the board, find out what it is that you'd like to talk about, and let you maybe ask a question or share some information. Maybe you have some questions about the changes that are upcoming in our concealed carry law in Ohio, things that have been passed in the last few months and then are now going to be going into effect on the 30th of September. If you've not heard about that yet and you have a license to carry concealed handgun, I highly recommend that you do some research and find out about that, or you can call the show and we'll be happy to talk about it as well. Today we also have in studio a special guest with us. Brandon Reed has joined us in the studio, and Brandon has been one of our students and had a project that he did for 4-H that was up at the Ohio State Fair. Brandon, welcome to the show. Tell people a little bit about what your project was and what happened up at the Ohio State Fair.
Well, the project was on pistol terms, about just basic stuff about guns and just the basically what happened up at the State Fair is just I went and got judged and just basically judged on, there's a lot of stuff you're judged on.
The 4-H program has special events up there, is that how that goes? This was a 4-H contest or a 4-H exhibit?
Probably more along the lines of an exhibit.
Okay.
And basically it's just...
So who does the judging? Is it the 4-H program that does the judging, or is it the state?
It's the state.
Okay.
And there's some judges that know a lot about guns there. My judge was very, very stubborn. Didn't really... It was really hard. I ended up getting two excellence out of him, I think.
So in addition to the display, then they were also talking with you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you had questions. They had questions for you to...
Yeah, they had questions for me and to grade me on those questions, see if I got them right. And I ended up getting the... there was four people in my group out of a lot more people that were to be judged. And it's called the Outstanding of the Ward Day. Outstanding project of the war
of the day.
Yeah, outstanding of the day. And so basically it's not like getting placed, you know, first, second, third and all that. There's four kids who get first place, and I was one of the four. And then there's the big clock trophy, which is usually someone who either got all excellence or every excellent except for one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you didn't win the clock trophy?
No, I didn't win the clock trophy.
But still, I mean, your project was ranked up there in the top four in the state.
Yeah.
So this is all of the state then competing for the
all the counties in the state, all the counties that do shooting sports in the state came, and I was in the top four.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Tell the folks a little bit about what your project was and what you included in your project and what they were judging on and what you included and how you came to do your project.
Oh, okay. Well, the pistol terms were basically, most of it was in the book, and I got some stuff out of the book, and the poster usually when you want it to stand out, it's really colorful, kind of like put neon pink, neon green, all that kind of stuff. And, there's a lot more than just a poster, it's a book, and, you have to fill it. Usually if you have a complete book, then you're probably going to get an excellent on that. Mm-hmm. And I had the training I had from Sim Trainer in there, and the leadership camp that I'm going to be doing in October, I think, and just a junior to be a junior leader, and I'm going to be a junior leader in my discipline, which is pistol.
Okay.
But I'm going to be junior leader there on Tuesday nights, which is usually when they shoot for about an hour. We just basically meet up and all that stuff. So And then I'm going to be, but on Wednesday nights, I'm going to be doing shotgun for my project.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yep.
Now, where will you be doing that?
At Miamisburg Sportsman's Club.
Okay.
Miamisburg, yeah.
Okay. Now, how did you get started? Now, you had some training with firearms before you came to Sim Trainer. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the 4-H program does, what were you doing? Rifle at the time then?
Yeah, I was doing rifle at the time. I had a friend that basically, I was homeschooled, and I had a friend in a homeschool group that said, well, you should come here, and, you know, there's a bunch of guys that kind of come up and shoot with us around a little bit. So I decided to come up there, and then I ended up shooting. I did good, made it to state fair my first year, actually.
Outstanding.
Yeah. I didn't place there, but I did place this year.
And now you've also had, since that initial training, then you've been at Sim Trainer. Of course,
yeah.
That's how we met you, and that's how come you happen to be here with us today.
Yep.
And that's also for the folks that are listening. That's part of the reason why I went through that long dissertation on the Advanced Handgun Series, because Brandon has been through that series and did quite well in our Advanced Handgun Series. So tell folks a little bit about some of your impressions of that and how you, when we just got another minute or so left before we need to take a break, but kind of give people a view of how you took that and put it into your project.
Well, at first I was, when I came to Sim Trainer, I wasn't expecting all that wonderful. It was really good training, actually. I wasn't expecting most of the stress levels and dealing with all that. And I mean, that was actually really amazing. The training was awesome. And, I really want to be in law enforcement when I grow up. So it was good training to know now. It was great. I loved it. It was first, maybe two classes, I was thinking that this wasn't what I thought it would be and what I get myself into. But then I was just, then as I went on, since the third handgun class, every time before I came, I got in that mode where I was training. And it was just wonderful. I loved it. It was the best feeling. I loved coming training. And it's when I even come there and shoot recreationally, as soon as I smell the inside of your guys' range, I'm like, you know, just
okay. That's just super training mode. We need to take our first break of the hour. So when we come back, we'll have more with Brandon Reed, and we'll also take your phone calls at 457-1290. Brett, hang on the phone, and we'll be with you after the break. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. Give us a call at the studio here at 457-1290 if you'd like to be on the show. 457-1290 is the number here into the Master Control Studio, and we will get you up on the board and get your calls taken during this hour. And in fact, let's do that right now. We'll go out to Brett, who's calling from Greenville. Brett, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. How can we help you today?
I have a question regarding home defense weapon for my wife.
Okay.
I've got a Winchester 1300 Defender, and I've tried to get her to go out and shoot it. She says she's not real comfortable with it, but I've got a 38 revolver that she likes, but I've put her on a shot timer and under duress. She can't hold a group. She can't hit a target.
Okay.
So am I better off to get her to go to the shotgun?
Well, I the best answer is what she wants. Let me just strongly recommend that she work with someone to get her comfortable with whatever it is that she plans to use and whatever she is going to end up using for personal defense. It may be one of those that you've already mentioned. It might end up being a semi-auto because of just the nature of the way that they operate. Sometimes it's a little bit easier to pull the trigger to hold when you're talking about holding a group and going under a certain period of time with a revolver. What that often means is that the trigger is too heavy for the person who's pulling the trigger. So when she goes to pull the trigger, when she's doing it nice and, you know, on no stress and without a time stress or without anything else going on, can do that nice smooth trigger press, but then it takes a while in order to get that because she's really struggling with the weight of the trigger. And right. If that's the case, then You can sometimes have the trigger lighten, but with most revolvers, that's not a really good idea, because if you do that, you may lighten the hammer strike to the point where it's no longer as reliable. It's far better to get a gun and use it the way the manufacturer intended, in accordance with their design and their testing, to make sure that the gun is going to be reliable and it is going to go bang when you pull the trigger. So finding the right gun is really key. Our basic handgun class is a great way to do that. I don't mean to just be pushing the class, but it gives people an opportunity to try a bunch of different guns. One of the problems with semi-autos is finding one that her hand fits, physical size as opposed to strength. Pulling the trigger on a lot of the semi-autos is not the problem unless your hand doesn't fit the gun well. And the best way to try that out, is to find out which gun fits, is to actually give it a try. Come down to the range, try the gun out, make sure you can try several guns and find out which ones don't work simply because she doesn't like the way they feel in her hand. But then once you figure out which ones might be good options, can go out into the range and give them a try and make sure that the recoil is something that she can handle. And obviously training will help that, because once you learn how to do that properly, to get the good weight behind the gun and to have a good grip, solid grip on it, enough proper tension, not too much and not too little, finger in the right place on the trigger, nice smooth trigger press, all of those things affect the way that you'll be able to place the accurate shot. And being able to do that quickly really involves being trained and practiced well. I mean, it's like anything else. If you do it on a regular basis, you do it consistently, and you practice properly, that you are practicing the good skills, then under stress, you'll be able to revert to that training, and you'll be able to do exactly what you need to do at the point that you need to do it. So, go ahead.
That is kind of the issue. I've spent a year trying to train her on slack out.
Okay. We're at the bottom of the hour here, Brett. So I'm going to put you on hold and come back to you after the news break. So if you folks, if you'd like to be on the air, give us a call at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290. And now, 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO. Thanks for joining us. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be on the show, give us a call at 457-1290. But we do have full phones right now, so let's go back out and finish talking with Brett, who's called in trying to find the best home defense weapon for his wife. Welcome back to the show, Brett.
Thank you.
The one thing that I would really want to recommend is that you take that she go and help find the gun that's best for her. Try
right.
some. It's really going to have to be something that fits her.
Well, I've let her shoot my XD and my Glock and a couple of my SIGs. She really likes the 1911 style because of how slim the grip is.
Right.
And she's used the one I've got, 9mm, and she says the slide moving back and forth messes with her eyes. So I guess my concern is if she's in the house and she's under stress and she's using a handgun and she empties the magazine and doesn't hit the target versus a shotgun, she's more likely to hit the target and stop the threat.
Well, you still need to be able to aim well with a shotgun. Even though the shotgun does use shoot pellets and it shoots a pattern, at personal defense distances, that pattern is pretty small. So
right.
you need to be able to shoot that accurately as well. And again, the main thing, the main key to success with either one of them is practicing and getting some excellent training. We'd be more than happy to help you with that at Sim Trainer and help her work through the problem first of selection and then getting very comfortable with it. And that really is the key.
Right. So do you guys offer shotgun courses?
We have in the past, and there's not any currently scheduled, but it is on our list of courses, and we just haven't got any scheduled right now. But if you track our website, if you want to sign up for the updates from our email, you can do that on the homepage of our website at sim-trainer.com. Just click the link for range email and put your thing in there, your email address in there. It's a typical list server. We, of course, don't share those email addresses with anyone. And that will give you any updates that we have to our schedule. We always send those out to the email list so people are aware of that. And then, of course, they'll always be on the website as well.
All right.
Brett, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out to Brenda, who's called from Englewood. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have two questions for Brendan.
Okay.
What age did you start training, and what is your favorite firearm?
I'd have to say probably, well, I started when I was 13 when I went into 4-H, and that was when I started shooting a rifle. But my favorite firearm to shoot was the one that my mom bought me, which is a 9mm M&P. And
that's a Smith & Wesson Military and Police Series fire handgun. It's a semi-automatic, and yours is in 9mm, correct?
Yeah. And the most fun one to shoot would be a .22 rifle. And actually, I went to Sim Trainer, I think it was last week, and I shot a .22. I think it was a Cowboy or whatever he called it.
Oh, it's the lever action, the Henry.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a fun gun to shoot. It's a lever action. It's the like the old cowboy movies, long guns. You the action has a lever action underneath, and you swing that in order to charge the next round into the chamber. It is a lot of fun to shoot.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to shoot. It was really fun.
I have one more question.
Okay, Brenda.
Brendan, what do you plan to do with all of your training when you get older?
Well, I really want to go into law enforcement when I get older. Is like what I really want to do is when I turn 18, I wanted to be an EMT for a little while until I turned 21, so I could own a gun, because you have to own a gun and everything to be a cop or be in the law enforcement or something like that. So I really wanted to. That's what I wanted to do with all the training, and repeat some of the classes that I did to keep updated on the training. Mostly
sounds like a good plan.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love coming to Sim Trainer and training with Mark and Jeff. It's a lot of fun.
Great.
It's very good training.
Brenda, thanks very much for calling the show. We have a new guest in the studio today. Jeff got hung up and wasn't able to be here earlier. So, Jeff, glad you made it.
Yep. Glad Brandon could make it today. We've made it a point over the years to open up our training to younger shooters, and Brendan is one of about five or six who have achieved a very high level of competency in a very short bit of time, mainly because of their commitment to what they're doing. And he follows up, he practices, his mom's committed to it, and it's an expensive hobby, but most hobbies are expensive, and his preparation that he's undergoing right now is definitely going to benefit him in the future.
Absolutely. We were talking before the first break about some of the things that had gone on. So tell us a little bit more about your project specifically, Brendan, and what it was that you included out of your training from Sim Trainer that you put into your project.
I'd have to say just the leaders, I mean, the discipline, I would have to say the discipline of the training and everything. I put most of that into my project in the stuff saying that I had done all your classes, really astounded the judge.
That is the discipline is a very important point.
Yeah.
In fact, that is one of the things that we've seen with many of our youth shooters that have come through. We've had some kids who were maybe a little bit unfocused and were having difficulty in school. They come through and they take the training and recognize just how important it is to be focused on what you're doing and to apply that, go through practice, make sure that you do all the necessary preparation, and then apply those same skills in their schoolwork, and it really improves them as a student. So I'm glad that the judge was also able to recognize how important that is.
Mark, I also want to mention, when you talk about discipline, Brendan will tell you that we held him to the same standard that we held the adults to. And Mark and I, we run a pretty a tight ship, and we're pretty tough on the people, especially as they get into handguns level 3, 4, and 5. And when they make mistakes, we stay on them. We expect them to make the corrections that they have to make, because the whole concept of simulation training is to replicate reality as best we can. So just because he's a 14, 15-year-old young man, that didn't mean that we relieved any of the tension. Matter of fact, there were times I know that he went to the back of the line, his heart was pumping, his eyes were big, and he was wondering, what did I get myself into? But we assured him that that was all part of the process, and he understood it. He's an athlete, so I'm sure that his coaches push him to achieve a high level of performance, and we let him know that if we're not yelling at him, we probably didn't care. And we made the corrections. The biggest thing was he made the adaptations because he is disciplined. Other people, they will tune out when they're subjected to that kind of training. And I will tell you right on, in order to get yourself to that your mind is sharp under highly stressful situations, you have to put yourself in that situation where you will be disciplined and focused on a regular basis.
And that's really what the sim is about in Sim Trainer, in increasing and simulating a live environment. Obviously, we can't do that by shooting at you, but we are going to turn up the stressor a little bit, and we're going to force people to prepare themselves for dealing with the violent encounter, which is to say, shoot under stress. The violent encounter is going to be a stressful situation. Now, in your case, obviously, it's going to still be a few years before you could carry a firearm for personal defense legally. But all of that preparation gives you a fundamental understanding and a mental preparation that will serve you very well when you go into law enforcement. Unfortunately, not enough people really get that kind of preparation and know what they're headed for when they go into that and when they hit police academy. And Jeff, you can talk about this a whole lot better than I can since I haven't been there. But when they get into the police academy and the stress gets turned up, they just fold. And that's unfortunate.
And I will tell you that from personal experience with people that we've trained who ultimately go into the military and or to the law enforcement academies, they tend to perform remarkably better than their colleagues because they've been exposed to that level of training early on. And it's not a matter of, you know, who does it. The bottom line is you just have to be exposed to it. You have to work through it. You have to expect yourself to achieve a high potential, push yourself to achieve whatever goals you set, and then realize that all advanced training is we emphasize fundamentals under increasingly challenging circumstances. Let me just have Brendan tell you. Brendan, have we ever taught you anything different after the basics? When we put you under stress, do we have you change the way we do things?
No, fundamentals change. The fundamentals do not change at all. They're all the same. Nothing changes. Everything stays the same.
And that's a key point to the training. It's not over, you know, overblown. It's basic fundamentals applied consistently time and time and time again.
So all that advanced handgun stuff that we talked about at the beginning, people aren't going to learn anything new. Well, yeah. And you know, really, it sounds kind of like, well, so why bother taking more than the first class? And the reason is because what we do is increase the complexity of the situation in which you have to do those same fundamentals.
Well, just this last Thursday, and Mark, you know this, we had three police officers who attended the class for the first time. And at the first break, all three of them almost simultaneously looked at us and said, wow.
Yeah.
They had not been exposed to that kind of training. It was a low light session. They had not been exposed to that kind of training in their careers. They made comments like they've never seen anything like that before. Everybody should have to go through that. You should have to do it once a year. That tested me. That challenged me. And again, it was nothing but applying the fundamentals under increasingly challenging circumstances.
Before we take our last break of the hour, let's go out and talk to Steve, who's called from Dayton. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I guess I have a little bit more of a basic question. I've been able to find a lot of information and heard a lot lately about Ohio's concealed carry requirements, but what are Ohio's current open carry rules?
Okay. Open carry is protected under the Ohio Constitution, and the Supreme Court has confirmed that. The problem with open carry is that a lot of people aren't ready for that. A lot of people aren't used to that and get very uncomfortable when they see a firearm carried openly on the hip when somebody is not in a uniform that indicates that they would be required to carry one as part of their job. So you will get a lot of attention. Unfortunately, there have been situations where people have responded badly. Let's just leave it at that, when they see a firearm carried openly, and you may end up having a lot more interaction with law enforcement. It's not illegal. We think that tactically it's a kind of a disadvantage for you. We don't recommend open carry because it gives away the fact that you have a firearm, and it could make you a target if somebody has the intent of doing something bad. Now, there are other people who argue that open carry is a deterrent from people doing bad things, and there are some very specific examples where that has been the case. But so on balance, you're going to have to make your own decision. As far as the law is concerned in Ohio, open carry is not illegal.
Okay, I appreciate the information.
Thanks very much for calling the show.
Mark, let me just mention something about that open carry issue. I realize that this whole process of concealed carry, it's an evolving process. This whole process of using guns in self-defense, it's an evolving process. We're making substantial strides. I don't want people to think that we're in any way, shape, or form trying to take away your constitutional right to carry openly. It's just that, as Mark says, you don't want to draw negative attention to yourself, and you don't want to draw negative attention to the progress that we've made. One other point I want to make along those lines is, given that, you know, out in other states, like rural western states, open carry is probably very common. I was watching how the states took their shapes, and there was a shooting range right next to a grocery store, and the commentator interviewed the guy about what he thought about the shooting range being within about 50 feet, and the people were like, well, what are you talking about? It's commonplace. We expect that. Yeah. That's the way of life out here.
They're shooting over there, yeah. And we're shopping over here. What's the problem?
Yeah. So, it comes down to that, yeah. And it wasn't a big deal. And the people at the grocery store didn't have a problem with the gun range, and the people at the gun range said, well, as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go get milk and bread and food for tomorrow at the grocery store. So it's just commonplace.
The only people that had problems with it were the people who were doing the reporting, because right. They had come from the East Coast, and that was so completely bizarre to them.
That's exactly what it was.
So we do need to kind of change that mental process and get folks understanding what the firearms heritage of this country is, and that's part of why we're here today. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip with Jeff Pedro and Brandon Reed. We're going to take our last break for the hour, so if you'd like to be on the show, give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll get out to Jeff after the break.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome our listeners back to the show, and let's go right back out to the phones and talk to Jim in Sydney, who has a question about gun registration. Jim, are you there?
Yes, how you doing?
Good, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, thanks.
What can we do for you today?
I wanted to purchase a weapon in the future, and I was wondering what the gun registry laws are.
Well, actually, there is no gun registration laws. What you're going to have to do when you purchase a gun, you'll have to fill out what we call a 4473, and you'll have to do a federal background check to indicate to the seller whether or not you're authorized in purchasing a firearm. That's if you buy it from a commercial federal licensed firearms dealer. And I would recommend your first gun, actually, that you do that. It's not a big deal. The process takes all of about 20 minutes. That information is just retained by the in the federal database. It's not like the local people are keeping tabs on you. If the gun would ever be stolen in subsequent crime, it can actually be traced, and we can find out where it was last owned so that we might be able to conduct a more thorough investigation. But there's no registry. It's not like the gun itself is going to be registered per se.
And there's no, if you own a firearm already, there's no need to register it in Ohio. There is no registry of guns. So no matter what you might see on Hollywood's representation of some of the investigation shows, there is no place that they can just go and find out who owns that gun.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Jeff in Dayton, who has a question or comment about our open carry discussion. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. What you were saying about, you know, in Ohio, yeah, it's true that if you try to open carry, you'll get a lot of attention. In fact, that's pretty much the case just about anywhere east of the Mississippi River. However, you go out to places like Wyoming and Montana and the mountain region, you can open carry in a lot of the, in most of that area, pretty much without too much difficulty. And in fact, if somebody tries to call 911 to complain about somebody carrying an open firearm, they'll laugh you right off the line.
Yeah, and that's really the way it should be. I don't argue that. And I think, you know, the urban areas are going to get a lot more concern.
It's simply a difference in the gun culture. And out west, it's been a way of life forever. And out east, we just equate guns with bad. We forget that it's the bad people doing bad things and not the guns that are the thing we need to focus on. And we're evolving. And I think that we'll get to the point, I don't know how soon, we're making very good progress. When you consider where we were 10 years ago to where we're at now, I think we've made very good progress.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Kim, who has another comment on the same question. Kim, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, and I hope the caller that brought up the open carry question is still listening. One thing you failed to touch on is that once you get into your motor vehicle, that firearm is now considered concealed, and as such, you would need a concealed handgun license for that.
You're absolutely right. In Ohio, you can't have a loaded handgun in a motor vehicle unless you have a license to carry a concealed handgun. Thanks very much for calling the show. And we are out of time, and this is going to be our last show for a while. So thanks very much to Brendan for joining us today. If you've got any other youth out there that want to learn more, come give us a call at SimTrainer at 293-3914. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.